Well, it certainly is a beautiful world that God has created, and it's amazing when we can look out at the world around us and we can see, we can learn something about God, and we can learn something about our purpose here, who we are and who we are in relationship to our Creator. And one of the purposes here that God wants us to make a difference here in this world. That's what I want to talk about tonight. Or when God created us and when He saved us, He wanted us to make a difference to those around us. You know, the gospel message is about change. It's about people coming to God and changing from who they were to a different person, repenting and giving themselves over to God. But that change doesn't stop with just me. And it doesn't stop with each one of us when we're saved. We then go and we influence other people. As Jesus talked about, people need to see our good works, and when they see those good works, they need to glorify our Father who is in heaven. That's about when people come in contact with us, it needs to influence them in a different direction than where they're currently going. It needs to influence them in a direction towards God. But it doesn't just stop with our influence with people out around us in the world. We also have that influence with each other. In our families, in the church, we need to be making a difference. Husbands need to be making a difference as they lead their wives. Wives need to be making a difference with their husbands. As Peter talked about, wives can win their husbands over to Christ. And then when you think about the church, as we all teach each other, encourage each other, build each other up, we each need to be making a difference. We need to be leaders. But that's hard sometimes, because it's hard to get people to change. And so tonight, I want to talk about how to make a difference. Because even though this is such a big purpose here for us in this life, it's something I think we all struggle with. How to actually be a leader and stand up and make a difference in the lives of the people around us, bring other people to Christ, bring people closer to God, help other people live more godly. It's hard to get people to change. And so the way I want to talk about this evening is by looking at a great character in the Old Testament, a character who we really don't study that often. He's not studied as much as some of those more major characters, but he is a character in the Old Testament who I believe took the nation of Israel from the depths of sin and brought them up to one of the most glorious times in all of their history. And this man is the prophet Samuel. So turn over in your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel. That's where we're going to be for this lesson tonight. 1 Samuel. This man, Samuel, was an incredible character. That he was able to take a nation when they were in just absolute chaos. He was born into the time period that we call the time of the judges. The time of the judges is this time when the nation doesn't have any kind of formal ruling. Instead, they're ruled by whichever judge happens to be around at that time. And what it mostly ended up in was chaos, because the people weren't trying to follow God. And so you have this nation that's getting more and more immoral and turning further and further away from God. And with each successive judge, the nation just goes further and further into sin. And Samuel is the one who we usually refer to as the last judge, because he was the one who finally turned the whole nation around. And he brought that nation all the way from this chaotic period of the judges, all the way up to the reign of David, which the reign of David, as many problems and challenges as David had, he was held up throughout the Old Testament as the great model of what it meant to be a king that served God. And so it was one of the highest points of all of Israel's history. And David himself was held up as the shadow of Christ himself as king. And it was Samuel who brought the nation from the evil period all the way up to that kind of glory. And I think when we study this, when we see this change it's going to help us to see what it means to make that difference in the lives of, people around us. We're going to talk about how to take people from the depths of sin all the way to godly living. All right, well, how did Samuel do that? Let's dig into the story and see what Samuel did that made such a difference. You would think in a time period that it was this evil, that hopefully there would at least be some form of godliness in the temple itself. You would think that even if the rest of the nation has fallen into corruption and sin, at least you would have some kind of a sanctuary there at God's house. But you don't see that at all. You see, even the temple itself is corrupted with sin. There were two priests there who were the priests leading the people at the time. They were named Hophni and Phinehas. And these two guys were corrupt through and through. And not only were they corrupted, but they were extremely immoral. And in their corruption, we just get a few pictures of the kinds of things they would do. It talks about when someone would come and they would try to offer a sacrifice to God. These two priests would go and they would try to steal some of the meat so that they could eat it. So here, instead of having their service honoring God and worshiping God, it was all about what they could take from the people, what they could do to build themselves up. And so here we have the pick. 1 Samuel starts with this picture of a nation that is in the depths of sin. And here all these dots are represent, this is where the people are on the graph right now. We start out with all the people down here at the bottom. And Samuel is born right into that environment. And in fact, he's born and he is raised at the temple itself. And you'd think that would be great, but as we see, it's not a great environment to be raised in, because even the temple itself was in the depths of sin. But what we see with Samuel is right from the very beginning, he is different. And if we're going to make a difference in the people around us, the first thing we need to be is we need to learn how to be different ourselves. Before I can make a difference in those around me, I have to learn how to be different. And that's exactly what you see in the life of Samuel. The first few chapters of the book of Samuel start making this drastic comparison between the character of Samuel and the character of all those around him. And you see this in chapter 1, right there at the very end of 1 Samuel chapter 1. Samuel's mother comes and to the tabernacle there, and she gives her son there and dedicates him to the Lord and says that Samuel is going to serve there. And it says in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 28, "Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord." This is Samuel's mother talking. "Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there." That is such a key verse, because that's the very first thing we learn about Samuel ever doing. He's extremely young at this point. We don't know how young, but we're talking about a little kid at this point. And when his mother says, "I'm dedicating him to God," and the first thing we ever learn that Samuel does is he worships God. He worships God. And here we start to see that Samuel was different in that he had a direction towards his life. That here all the rest of the nation was living in this chaos and sin. And there was Samuel, even at this as a young boy, he had a purpose and a direction. And you can see that in that he's pointed towards God in his worship. The worship, there wasn't a lot of other worship going on. Hophni and Phinehas weren't doing any worship. They weren't giving themselves over to God. But here's this young child who decides to worship God. And that theme of worship follows him through his whole life. We see over and over again throughout the story of Samuel that he's always out there at an altar worshiping God, building another sacrifice there to God, leading people in worship to God. That characterizes who he was. And you see it in this preparation phase at the very beginning. But not only did he prepare himself by worshiping God, he also prepared himself by listening to God. And here's another contrast. Here in the chapter 3, it tells us that people didn't hear from God at that point. It was the word of God was very rare. Here we are back in the Old Testament where we don't have a whole lot of the written word. Instead, God's sending prophets to the people, and God is talking directly to the prophets and telling them what to say to the people. But in this time, the things are so dark that it says in chapter 3, verse 1, "Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, and the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision." So the author lets us know up front, God's not really even talking to the prophets very much. God's not having much communication with much of anybody at this time. And then that sets the scene for the story of chapter 3, where Samuel is there as a young boy there at the tabernacle, and he's going to sleep that night, and he hears a voice talking to him, and he doesn't know who it is, and finally he finds out it's God speaking to him. And it says, when we drop down to verse 10, it says, "And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant hears.'" So here Samuel says, "I'm listening, God." And that characterized Samuel's life as well. He was a man who was listening to God. And you see that in this preparation phase so much, that here he is, how the whole rest of the nation, they're not listening to God, but Samuel is a man who listens to God. Now that's a critical for us to make a difference in people's lives as well. Now we don't have God directly speaking to us like he did to Samuel. Instead, we have the written word. But we need to be listening to God's words. Even when everybody else isn't, we need to be different in that we listen to God's words. And that will give a direction to our life that the people around us won't have. But then thirdly, when he was listening to God's word, that built up a reputation that the people around him could then see Samuel's different. And you see that at the end of chapter 3. The chapter ends with verse 20. "And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord." Everybody knows it. Everybody can see God is speaking to Samuel, and he's different. At a time when the word was rare, God wasn't speaking to people, everyone could see, this is a man who's different. The world needs to see that about us. The people around us, the people we come in contact with, need to see that we are different. And this point here is going to play a critical role as we continue to follow through Samuel's life. That people could see he was different, and that's one of the reasons why they followed him. All right, well, that's the preparation phase. So we need to prepare ourselves. But now, let's continue following this story. So here, he's prepared himself, but then before things get better in the nation of Israel, things start to get even darker. The enemy nation of Philistia attacks Israel, and they have this huge battle, and Israel loses the battle so severely that even the Ark of God is captured by the Philistines. Here's what they would consider to be the most holy object of all, what symbolized God's presence. The Philistines take and they carry it away. And Israel is left with nothing. You think about what this emotionally would have done to the Israelites, that they suddenly see God is completely not with us. Here, we've even lost the one thing that symbolized his presence with us. It's gone. We're done. And it was at this point, as the nation just falls into despair, that you see a turning in the thinking of the people. That here they'd been living in sin all this time, but now it's a teachable moment. That now the people are finally mourning and they're seeing just their destitute state, that it's ruined, we're lost. What do we do? And it's at this point that Samuel has an opportunity. It's at this point that a great leader like Samuel, who's prepared himself so well, can stand up and he can do something, because this is the teachable moment, and he seizes that teachable moment. And the next point is, he starts. I need to be the one who starts moving when everybody else is still panicking, when everybody else says, I don't know what to do, and it's chaos, and there's nothing, I don't know where we're going, Samuel can stand up and he can move forward. And as he moves forward, people started to follow him. And that's what we see here in this chapter. In chapter 7, turn over to chapter 7, and let's read some verses here in chapter 7, as Samuel motivates the people forward. Here in chapter 7, verse 3, Samuel's going to stand up in front of all Israel and start teaching them. He says, verse 3, and Samuel said to all the house of Israel, if you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtaroth from among you, and direct your heart to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. So the people of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtaroth, and they served the Lord only. Samuel made a difference. At a time when the nation was in such sin, Samuel was finally able to stand up. He seized that moment and he told them, look, you need to make a change. And he starts that by teaching the people. He starts teaching the people about God. And the people follow. It says the people repented and they start following exactly what he taught them. He starts telling them about who God is and about what God expects of them. And if they're going to follow God, here's the way they're going to have to do that. He seizes that opportunity. Now, why is it that this nation would listen to Samuel? Why is it that at this moment they would actually be willing to listen? It seems like it's because of the reputation that he's already built up. All Israel knew that he's a prophet. And so when they hit the depths of despair and they're panicking, they're saying, we've got to do something. We've got to turn back to God. I don't know what to do. That's when they can look to Samuel and they can look to a person who they know is godly and they can follow him. That's the kind of person that you and I need to be. That when we come in contact with people in the world or with people around us, and they're hitting that panic state, they're hitting that teachable moment, we need to be able to stand up there and they turn to us and say, what can I do? Because they see that we're living our lives different. They see the way that we're living godly, and they want to live like that. But not only did he teach them, but he called them to action. He called people back to God. And you see that in the way that he teaches them, the way he tells them, if you're going to serve God with all your heart, these are the things you need to do. You need to get rid of the idols. And he gives them these direct statements about, here's the way you need to change your life. And they follow that example. They follow that teaching. He doesn't waver in indecision. That's a point where each of us could panic and say, I'm not really sure how to teach them here. I'm not sure what to do. But Samuel was ready, and he was ready to lead them in that new direction. But then, not only that, but he prays to God. And that's such a key thing here. If I'm going to lead people closer to God, I need to be down on my knees praying. That's when real change takes place. You see that in verses 8 and 9 of chapter 7. And the people of Israel said to Samuel, do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines. So Samuel took a nursing lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Here he's praying for the people, asking God to forgive them, asking God to save them from their enemies, and God answers. And that's a critical ingredient in us being able to lead people, is we need to be down on our knees praying to God. And you see that all the way through Samuel's life. You even see it later on. There's a great verse that I love where Samuel says, far be it from me to sin against God by ceasing to pray for you. But he said, I know it would be a sin for me to quit praying for this nation. Wow, he took prayer seriously. All right, well, that was the initial revival that got the ball rolling. But to make a change this large, to get people all the way from the depths of sin up to where they needed to be, it was going to take more than a revival. And so the next step was, he kept going. After he had started going, he keeps going. And we see that the way then keeps going and going and going and leading the people further and further and further. And the way he did that was by constant diligence, diligently teaching over and over and over. It wasn't just this one-time thing. And here's where we see that. Here's where we see that he was completely dedicated to God's work. First of all, look at verse 6 of this same chapter. In verse 6, it's going to tell us that Samuel judged Israel. And this is still talking about the initial revival that we've talked about. So in verse 6, it says, "So they gathered at Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, 'We have sinned against the Lord.' And Samuel judged the people of Israel at Mizpah." So here, the people say we've sinned, and they turn back to God, and then it says, Samuel judged Israel. Now, that's a significant word, this idea of judged, because the way the Bible uses the word, especially in the Old Testament, is not the way that we typically think of it today. We think of a judge as being someone who just decides legal disputes or something like that, but instead, in this period in history, they use the word judge more as we might consider a leader, where they were some kind of a leader and led the people in some way. Sometimes it involves some legal disputes, but many times it would be a military leader, that a judge would be someone who led the people to victory. What kind of a leader is Samuel here? He's not a military leader, not in the sense that he's carrying a sword. He's a spiritual leader. He's leading the people back to God. And that's what he does here in this revival. But then it just keeps going. If you drop down to the end of the chapter, verse 15, Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. And he went on a circuit year by year to Bethel, Gilgal, and Mizpah. And he judged Israel in all these places. Then he would return to Ramah, for his home was there. And there also he judged Israel. And he built there an altar to the Lord. So here it says he judged Israel for his whole life. First, the author's given us a picture of here's what it looks like for Samuel to judge people. When Samuel judges, that means he brings people back to God. And then the author says, and by the way, he did that his whole life. That was the consistent, diligent teaching people, leading them back to God. And it describes how he did that. He had this circuit that he would travel all around Israel. He'd go all the way up and then all the way back down. And he'd do that each year so that he was talking to as many people as he possibly could, influencing as much of the nation as he possibly could, traveling all around. And then he'd go back home. And of course, it says he's got an altar there at home because his whole life, as we said, was about worshiping God. But you see the consistency. That it's year by year, every year he's doing this. Every year he's making that big preacher trip all the way around the nation of Israel, consistently, diligently, working hard to lead people step by step by step. If we're going to make a difference in people's lives, it's not going to happen overnight. We might have that initial revival that we make a momentary difference, but to really make a lasting, eternal difference, we're going to have to be like Samuel. Or we work at it day after day, year after year, on and on and on to make that lasting, eternal difference. Well, those were the ways he made these changes. And it kept going, and he kept bringing people closer and closer to God until something happened. And I wish we could have just ended the sermon there. We could end it real happy and everything would be nice. But now we hit the bad news. It says in the next chapter that in chapter 15, let's drop down there. I'm sorry, we're going to be in chapter 15 soon, but before then, it says that Samuel was old. And so here we fast forward all the way to the end of his life. He's been teaching people all this time, and here he is at the end of his life, and it says he's old. And then we have a problem. All of a sudden, the people do something that Samuel never expected. They say, "Samuel, we want a king to reign over us." And Samuel's thinking, "What? That's not what I've been teaching this whole time." And they say, "The reason we want a king is we want to be like all of the other nations around us. We want to be just like them." Well, that doesn't sound like a good motivation. And he'd say, "Well, we want a king because we want him to lead us in battles." And Samuel's scratching his head thinking, what have I been teaching them this whole time? I've been teaching them that God's the one that leads them. I've been teaching them not to be like the other nations. And here, after all of the spiritual leadership, they've completely turned away. Can you imagine the despair and the disappointment that must have hit Samuel at this moment? He'd taken the nation so far, and here he was getting old, and as he's thinking about what's going to happen after he's gone, he sees the way the nation has already turned away from all of the teaching he's given them. What a terrible disappointment. How is he going to handle that? Well, that wasn't the only disappointment he dealt with in his life. After the nation does get a king, then that king, his name's King Saul, after they get this guy named King Saul, and Samuel's done everything he can to try to train King Saul to help him to be diligent to follow God, then King Saul turns away from God. And now here they have this new leader, and their new leader is leading them away from God. And you can just see the disappointment and despair on Samuel. What is going to happen to this nation? And that's when he just turns to God in all of this grief and anger. It even talks about his anger when he hears about Saul's sins. And all of this despair. And now, what is he going to do? How is he going to handle this terrible moment? Well, chapter 15. Let's look at chapter 15. It says in chapter 15, verse 10, "The word of the Lord came to Samuel, 'I regret that I have made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments.' And Samuel was angry, and he cried to the Lord all night." There's the anger that we talked about. And then go down to the end of the chapter, verse 35 of chapter 15. Here, after Samuel's come and he's rebuked Saul, it says, "And Samuel did not see Saul again until the day of his death. But Samuel grieved over Saul." So here's all these emotions, the anger, the disappointment, the grief, all of this pain that he's going through. How do we handle that? We go through times where we've tried to help people. We've tried to lead them each step of the way closer to God, and then they completely disappoint us. And we feel like, I did all that for nothing. Here, I was building that huge tower, and you just pulled the block out of the bottom, and it all fell to nothing. Well, God gives Samuel, in the very next chapter, chapter 16, God gives Samuel a very important piece of instruction that I think helps so much with this. Chapter 16, verse 1. "The Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you grieve over Saul, since I've rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons.'" So here's what God tells him. He says, how long are you going to keep grieving over this situation? It's time to start again. That's hard to do. That when everything's fallen apart and things aren't going at all the way we thought, God says, Samuel, I need you to get back up and keep going and start all over again. I know everything's broken. I know this looks awful. I know you're sad. It's okay to be sad for a little bit, but now it's time to pick yourself back up and keep serving me. And keep leading. And keep leading in the direction that I've commanded this nation to go. Now, that sounds almost trite, almost like some sort of self-help book that, you know, whenever you get down in despair, you need to just pick yourself up and put a smile on your face and keep going. I don't think God was trying to give Samuel some little trite piece of advice. Here's the difference about God's instruction. What made God's instruction different was that God said, I have already chosen David as the next king. He wanted Samuel to keep going because he said, I'm still going. He wanted Samuel to keep working because God was still working. And that's what makes the difference for all of us. That's what should motivate us. That we can keep following God. We can keep that momentum going because even when things fall apart, God is still working. God is still at work. And even if we feel like we've given up, God hasn't given up. God still has work for us to do, and God is still making a difference. And so what we need to be motivated by God, that even though in those times of despair, we can see God's still working. And that's what Samuel did. He went and he anointed David as the next king. And there, it was right there at the very end of his life. He was old at that point, and he lives for a little bit longer, but not much longer. But then David becomes the next king, and he leads the nation into this great godly height of the nation's history, even after Samuel was gone. And here you see the picture of his life, that Samuel, he was the guy who prepared himself. He got himself ready. He got himself ready to serve the nation. And then when that moment came, he led this great revival, brought the people back to God, and motivated them in this momentum. And then he continued that momentum on and on and on and on, until even when the terrible despair happened, he was able to turn back around and say, "Let's keep going." And that momentum continued even after he died because of that great leadership. Well, those are 4 points that I think are very helpful and very practical. But I think that these 4 points maybe overlook an even deeper lesson in all of this. These 4 points, I think we can take them home and we can apply them, and it will make a difference in the people around us. But in all of these things that we've been talking about, there's something that is wound through all of these points that I think is even more key than just these 4 things right here. And so I want to go back through and show you what I feel like is really at work here. The first thing we talked about was how Samuel was worshiping God. His life was focused on God. And then we talked about how he was listening to God. His life was focused on God. And then we talked about how he had a godly reputation, how people around him could see that he was living for God. And then we saw how the things he taught were all about God. And then we see that when he called people back and he called them repentance, he was calling them back to God. Everything about it was all about God. And then we saw that he was constantly praying to God. Everything about his life was all about God. And then we saw that his work was completely dedicated to God. And that's why his whole life was spent traveling around teaching people and teaching people and teaching people and teaching people, because he was completely dedicated to God's work. And then we saw that he could keep working even in the midst of all of this despair, because he knew that God was working. And I think the real lesson for us is, if I want to make a difference and if you want to make a difference, live a life for God. Be a servant of God. And when we do that, God will make a difference. When we serve God in that kind of a way, and our lives are completely dedicated to God, only to God, then God can make a huge difference in the world around us, in all of the people we come in contact with. And that is my hope and prayer, is that that is what all of us can do. Let's be servants of God. If you are not yet a Christian, if you have not yet given your life over to God, then this is a time this evening where you can come forward and you can dedicate your life to God, and you can live a life like Samuel. Let's all choose to do that this evening as we stand and sing.